The Democratic primary ballot for the May 19th election will feature three candidates for Secretary of State: Mark Haas, Jamie McLeod Skinner, and Shamia Fagan. Fagan is an Oregon native, growing up in Duffer and the Dalles. Currently, she serves as a state senator representing District 24, which encompasses Southeast Portland, Happy Valley, Milwaukee, and North Clackamas. Fagan also works as a civil rights attorney, and she has scored endorsements from Planned Parenthood, the Oregon Education Association, and the League of Conservation Voters, among others. We spoke with Fagan to learn more about election security, small business support, and her priorities for Oregon. Well, to get started, what inspired you to run for Secretary of State?
Well, I think that Oregonians deserve a Secretary of State who has not only taken on tough fights here in Oregon, but won them. And I'm the only candidate in the race who has spent the past decade at the forefront of every major voter expansion in Oregon, from automatic voter registration, which I started working on my very first term in the Oregon House, to most recently entering us into the National Popular Vote Compact, as well as passing prepaid postage. So a lot of Oregonians will notice that on their ballots this time, they don't have to put a stamp on there if they plan on mailing it in, because we have prepaid postage. I'm the only person running who sponsored that legislation just last year in the Senate. So I've been working on expanding voting rights my entire legislative career. But right now, our democracy is under attack. It's more so than it ever has been. We have the president out spending tens of millions of dollars in lawsuits to try to stop the expansion of vote by mail. He's coming for vote by mail, and I think that Oregonians need a Secretary of State who has a history of standing up for the Oregon way of doing things and winning those fights.
And Oregon Secretary of State is a position that wears a lot of hats in state government compared to, you know, secretaries of state in other states. The secretary oversees elections, audits, public records, the Business Services and Corporations Division, as well as sitting on the state land board. But the responsibility for overseeing elections is often what first comes to people's minds. What do you see as the biggest threat to our electoral security currently, and how would you like to address that?
We are lucky here in Oregon that we have very secure elections. We use paper ballots. Our vote counting machines are not online. The biggest technical threat is through our online voter registration system. We need to shore up the security around our online voter registration system. That's where our biggest vulnerability is, in a literal sense. But the reality is, in a day and age where people can share stuff on social media and misinform people, really misinformation is the biggest kind of, when you really look at the broad sense of the threats to our democracy, because you don't have to actually hack a voting machine or actually interfere in an election if you can just spread misinformation and make people believe that you did. And so one very underutilized office in the Secretary of State's office that I want to significantly bulk up is the office of the Director of Civic Education. And if your listeners have even heard of this office, they might think of like elementary school curriculum or the Kid Governor program. But we need re-education for all Oregonians about how to spot misinformation, how to check to make sure their news sources are credible. Because the reality is, I'm more likely to get misinformation via text or social media from my aunt than I am from my niece, because she grew up in a generation where, you know, if it looked like Walker Cronkite said it or ABC News said it, then it was true. But she'll often send me stuff that will look really alarming, but she won't have caught that the website is like one letter off or two letters off from a credible website. So I think that we need to really bulk up the Director of Civic Education, because part of our civic life is making sure that we're using credible information, that we're at least sharing the same set of facts, so that when we, you know, engage in civic discourse and civic dialogue, we're at least operating on the same set of basic facts and true facts.
And how could we implement that, I guess, in a concrete sort of way?
Yeah, well, there's, like I said, it's in the Secretary of State's executive team. There already exists a position, the Director of Civic Education. And so we essentially need a campaign to show folks. I mean, there's actually some curriculums in other states that they've introduced that have been really successful in kind of helping people spot misinformation, spot news story, you know, like incorrect news stories, or and not, you know, news, credible news outlets making a mistake. We're talking about the intentionally false information that gets spread on social media. And they've developed a whole curriculum around helping people spot that. and, you know, use, you know, social media campaigns and other type of things to get that information out to Oregonians, because that position already exists in the Secretary of State's executive team. It's just not being used right now for anything beyond kind of elementary school curriculum and the Kid Governor program. We can use that position a lot more.
So before you were a state senator, you worked as a civil rights attorney. How did that work help to inform your life in politics?
I still am a civil rights attorney, so I'm actually...
Excuse me.
Yeah, no worries. Oregon has a citizen legislature, so when we're in session, we're full-time legislators. When we're out of session, most of us, or a lot of us, go back to our day jobs. So I'm still a civil rights attorney, and what I do primarily is stand up for workers in the workplace who are being mistreated, wage theft, race discrimination, sexual harassment, sex discrimination, pregnancy discrimination, and it essentially made me realize that there are... You know, look, there are mistakes that folks make, that small businesses make, that are not, they're not looking to hurt their workers. An honest mistake that can, you know, quickly get an honest remedy. But there are bad actors out there that do try to cut corners, which not only cheats their workers, but it cheats other small businesses who are actually doing the right thing. And so my very first bill that I chief co-sponsored, my freshman legislative session, created the Office of Small Business Assistance in the Secretary of State's office. And that is an office that still exists there today and receives not only national but international acclaim of how well Oregon does in assisting small businesses through that small business advocate. And so right now, more than ever, as we're trying to get our economy going again, 95% of Oregon businesses are small businesses. That is the engine of the Oregon economy. And small businesses need to understand and realize that they have an advocate inside the Secretary of State's office that is there to give them resources, help them sort through information, and treat their employees and their vendors in accordance with the law and give them information about how to do that.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my next question, talking about the Business Services and Corporations Division as well as a Small Business Ombudsman and using those positions to help businesses adapt to and recover from the coronavirus restrictions that we've been dealing with. What specifically would you enact with that power?
Well, the Secretary of State doesn't have legislative authority to enact, you know, legislation, for example, but a small business advocate, Ruth Miles is her name. She actually was a chief of staff to a legislator when I was in the House, and then she went on to run, I believe she runs the Corporations Division right now, but she used to be the small business advocate. But the reality is, it's literally a clearinghouse, almost like a 211 type number for small businesses. So it's not one specific policy or another. They're essentially hey, come to me with any questions. Because oftentimes a small business will get a letter saying, hey, you're not in compliance here, you have to pay this fee here. And those are the kind of questions that go directly to the Office of Small Business Assistance. And I know right now they're overrun with people trying to get access to the Paycheck Protection Act. How do I apply? How do I go through my bank? How do I reapply if I didn't get in on the first round of funding or the second round of funding? And so that person really keeps their job broad to really act in any situation as a clearinghouse of information that small businesses need here in Oregon. And the Corporations Division, there's all kinds of stuff we can, I mean, it's essentially a licensing and it's a registered agency to make sure that folks are licensed with the state. The enforcement and stuff does not come through. That's more through the Department of Consumer and Business Services, DCBS. But one thing that we can do, just a quick equity fix, is I've been supported by PACUN, the Latinx Farm Workers Union. And one thing that I learned from engaging with them and other, you know, communities that don't speak English as a first language is all of the corporate forms in Oregon are only in English. And so there's simple changes that we can make to make sure that when we have an economic recovery in Oregon, that's an economic recovery for everyone and not just for folks that can only that speak English. And so there's all kinds of things like that that we can do, even though the corporate division is really kind of there to kind of receive registrations and make sure that everyone's, you know, registered agent information is out in the public and transparent for everyone. But we can still enact equity there to make sure that the recovery is good for every small business in Oregon through those equity type moves.
What is one issue in this race that you think doesn't get enough attention?
Well, I previously mentioned the Director of Civic Education. That's kind of a drum that I've been beating since I got into this race with misinformation. But in addition to that, our public records. I'm the only one in this race who's proposed going beyond. So the Public Records Advisory Council, or they had some recommendations. We adopted those in the Senate in the February session. Of course, I voted for that. It was unanimous, and that was not controversial. But there are other places that we can change our public records laws to make the work we do in Salem more transparent. And one place that I pushed back on my own party, which I'm sure you can imagine is hard to do, is the Senate Democratic Caucus essentially utilizes a secret ballot as how they kind of discuss votes, whether they're going to be enough votes of just Democrats to pass legislation. And that secret ballot is on paper, but it's exempt from public records law. So I have proposed closing this, what I call secret ballot loophole, because what often happens is if a bill or an idea or a policy doesn't receive enough votes on that secret ballot of just Democrats, it never even goes on to a committee or onto the Senate floor to receive a public vote. And I think it's pretty simple to say that the public business done by public officials should be done in public here in Oregon.
Have you found that there's issues in the campaign that are commonly misunderstood by voters?
I think the biggest concern with voters and the Secretary of State's office is folks just often don't know what the Secretary of State's office does. And I always ask when I encounter folks, I say, look, that's not on you. That's on us. It's on the leaders in Oregon to make the work that we do relevant to people's lives. It's not on them to get a political science degree on the side of raising kids, taking care of families, opening a business, you know, taking care of their folks, whatever. This is something that's on us. In fact, my own brothers, I grew up in Eastern Oregon. I'm from Duffer and the Dalles, and my brothers continued east and now live in Stanfield and Pendleton, and one's a diesel mechanic and one's a welder. And when I told my big brothers, we're all very close, they were so proud of me, and then the next beat they were like, I don't even know what the Secretary of State does. And I was like, no worries. And so we actually did a podcast for my campaign called On the Oregon Trail with Shamia. In the very first episode, the title is, quote, I'm embarrassed to ask, but what does the Secretary of State do? And it's a conversation with me and my two big brothers. And I walk them through exactly what the Secretary of State does. And I kind of ask an open-ended question at the beginning saying, hey, what do you think the Secretary of State does? And one of my brothers says, I don't know, the state secretary, like, gets coffee and stuff. And obviously he was being, you know, he was joking, but he was also showing that, like, yeah, a lot of people don't know what this office does, and it's on us to make the work that we do relevant to people's lives. It's been a big focus of mine as a state House member, as a state senator, to make the work we do accessible, to not use confusing language about committees and bill numbers and, you know, minority reports and all these technical terms, but to break it down and make it accessible to people so they're not intimidated by the government that is their government, right, of the people, by the people. And I will continue to do that accessibility as Secretary of State.
So the Secretary of State, as you mentioned a little bit before, is also in charge of approving the wording of ballot measures, which is really important because the language between a yes and a no can be very confusing. Last week, Willamette Week reported on an email sent from your state Senate colleague, Representative Alyssa Kenny Geyer, criticizing a political action committee that supports you called Oregonians for Ballot Access, which she said was misleading in what it's called. What is your response to that? What is the importance of clear wording?
Yeah, well, clear wording is important, and, you know, obviously I've worked with Rep. Kenny Geyer. She's supporting one of my opponents, so her email was not obviously neutral. It was in an effort to support somebody that I'm running against. But the website, my campaign, didn't develop it or work on it, but I did review it, and if it was inaccurate, I would have asked them to take it down. But it's essentially a website that lists all the endorsements received from organizations, including endorsements I didn't receive. So my opponents, if they got an endorsement that I didn't get, that's also listed on the website. It's not just endorsements I received. It's also endorsements my opponents received with, you know, a fat red X underneath my name for certain organizations and good organizations. And so, you know, obviously she had her own motives in sending that email because she's supporting one of my opponents, but the bottom line is nobody was able to point out any inaccuracies in the website. And if there was something inaccurate, I would ask that organization and those folks to take it down. But, you know, it was publicly available information, nothing negative about my opponents, and listed endorsements that everybody received, including ones my opponents received that I didn't receive.
In such a multifaceted race, what differentiates you from your opponents? I mean, you spoke to endorsements a little bit just then.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's, you know, look, this is a race where Democrats are going to potentially look at two or three of us and go, gosh, I like these people. And that's the same decision that was faced by the organizations that Democrats trust. And I'm proud that Nearly every major Democratic organization and progressive organization has endorsed me in the race. Planned Parenthood, NARAL. Just today we got endorsed by Emily's List, which is a national organization that promotes pro-choice women candidates. Oregon League of Conservation Voters, the Oregon Education Association, the Oregon State Firefighters Council. And so all these organizations looked at all of us, and everybody in the race sought those endorsements and went before those folks and had their shot. But they all endorsed me because I've got a track record for standing up for everyday Oregonians, in part because of my background. And I didn't grow up, with a silver spoon in my mouth. I grew up in Duffer and the Dalles. My dad raised me as a single parent. And my mom battled meth and heroin addiction and was homeless in Portland for most of my childhood and much of my adult life. She also battled addiction. And so they see my track record as being somebody who is willing to stand up for everyday Oregonians, always considering how a particular policy affects the most vulnerable among us, not just the most privileged among us. And those organizations looked at my track record, my voting record, and that I'm not just somebody that votes for something and then kind of turns my attention away, but I'm a champion for the issues that Oregonians care about, that working people in Oregon care about. And so I'm proud to be endorsed by the broadest, most geographically diverse, most grassroots organizations across the state that Democrats trust.
Thank you for that. Do you have any closing thoughts for our listeners today?
Just that folks need to make sure their ballots are received by Tuesday, May 19th. Which we're encouraging folks to just go ahead and drop that in a drop box because the mail has been a little bit slow in the metro area potentially. So we're just encouraging folks that to drop those in a drop box. The ballot has to be received by 8 p.m. on Tuesday, May 19th, and I'm asking Oregon Democrats to vote for me for Oregon Secretary of State.
Shamia, thank you so much for talking with us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It was great.
We've been speaking with Shamia Fagan, state senator and Democratic primary candidate for Secretary of State. More information on Fagan and her campaign at shamiafororegon.com, S-H-E-M-I-A for Oregon.com. Primary ballots must be received by 8 p.m. on Tuesday, May 19th. Find a ballot drop box location near you by going to the Secretary of State's website, sos.oregon.gov/voting. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings.